In all of this, the big question that really needs to be asked is just how transmissible is Omicron? That's the latest variant of COVID. The bigger question is there a direct link at this juncture between greater transmissibility and increased hospitalization or increased fatality? We have a wonderful guest with us. Professor Salim Abdul Karim is a key member of the African COVID Task Force Committee and somebody who has written passionately about how South Africa shouldn't be, in a sense, targeted in quite this manner. It's unfair for actually bringing to the world the reality of Omicron. It's perhaps too early to do anything of the sort. But my first question, Professor, is this. In the last couple of days, what is the link that we are seeing between increased hospitalization and increased transmissibility of Omicron?
Good day to you. It's a great pleasure to be here. When we look at Omicron, what we see is a very large number of mutations. And in particular, Omicron has mutations that overlap with all the four past variants of concern. So it has mutations that are common with Alpha, Beta, Gamma, and Delta. So it's got increased transmissibility from some of the mutations in Delta, increased immune escape from some of the mutations in Beta. Now, we don't yet have clinical data or laboratory data about how the virus is going to behave. We've only known about the virus for about a week. But what we can say, based on the mutations, we know that this virus will have increased transmissibility. It'll have some level of immune escape. But it's very likely that it should not have a very different clinical presentations, because generally viruses evolve to becoming less severe. And it seems right now from our data that the diagnostics and the prevention measures remain effective. I think from the point of view of what we're observing clinically, one must be very careful in interpreting anecdotal and very preliminary data. And the reason for that is very simple. When you get COVID, the severe forms of COVID only manifest in week two, week three, week four. So if you look very early, all you will see is mild cases. So I think at this point, I would not make too much of the reports, the anecdotal reports that we are getting, except to say that what we're hearing is that for most of our clinicians is that the presentation is similar to the previous variants, and the increase in hospitalizations is largely due to the rapid increase in cases. In other words, the rapid spread means more pressure on hospitals quickly.
I take your point about the problems of relying on anecdotal information and the absence of enough data. But indulge us for a moment, because there is so much curiosity. You've been speaking to so many doctors. Are they, for example, seeing respiratory distress among those who have been confirmed as Omicron cases? Are they seeing any other severe symptoms among those who have been detected? What are they seeing?
So when we look at our cases, we firstly are not sure about whether all of them are Omicron in our hospitals, because we still have substantial circulation of Delta. But what we are seeing at this stage is that among the first batch that were analyzed, that's about the first 200-300 cases that we were aware of, the data from those showed that the patients presenting were largely younger, and they were presenting with mild infections. So they were seen largely by general practitioners in the private sector. We have not yet received any reports of deaths from Omicron infection. And we know that we are seeing hospitalizations now, and the respiratory distress that we are seeing is very similar to what we've seen before. We get progressive hypoxia requiring oxygen, and we just manage them in terms of standard protocols with dexamethasone and so on.
Okay. So, doctor, I'm just trying to sort of understand a little bit more. The 200-300 cases that you're talking about who've been positively sequenced as Omicron, were they vaccinated?
Ah, we don't know that. And we'd all like to know, you know, does it escape vaccine immunity? And the answer to that is no, we don't know. You're not going to be able to answer those questions.
No, but doctor, that's something I don't understand. Why in South Africa, which has done quite well, are you unable to know if they are vaccinated or not? Is it not centrally registered?
No, it is centrally registered, but you know what it takes to collect that data.
No, so I don't. In India, it's we've had lots of problems, but we have a wonderful system called COWIN. You know, you access it online. Doctors can do that. The government can do that. The batch number, the date number, the name of the doctor. You know exactly when you've got your doses. You don't have something like that, and this is important data, isn't it? To know if people have
absolutely
been vaccinated.
No, it's very, very important data, and it's being collected. It's just not available for this interview today.
Got it. The 200-300 cases that you're talking about, when were they detected with Omicron? A week back?
So most of them, so our initial cases come from around the second week of November. The earliest known case that we have was the 9th of November. It was identified serendipitously by the technician in the lab that saw that a group of samples that came from a small outbreak at one of our universities, that those particular samples had in a particular PCR kit developed by a company called Thermo Fisher, in that kit, one of the three genes does not turn up positive. So when this technician observed that, that's how we identified this case. So by then, we probably have had, you know, substantial transmission of the virus, because, you can't pick up the first case. You'll pick it up only when there's enough cases.
A final question to you, Professor. Existing RT-PCR tests can be used if they are used with some knowledge in identifying or getting a marker for Omicron even before genetic sequencing, right? For the layperson, how easy is it to train somebody to look for the right thing? Could you share some thoughts on that?
Yes, actually, that's one of the factors about Omicron that makes it a little bit easier to study, in that on a standard PCR test that's made by this company, that on just their tests, they use three genes. And one of those genes is the S gene or the spike gene. And Omicron, like the Alpha variant, this particular Omicron variant does not turn up positive on the S gene. Oh. The scientific terminology that we use is that it's an S gene target failure. Mm-hmm. In other words, it fails to light up it fails to produce a positive result on the S gene. So when we look at S gene target failure, we're getting some idea of where we are seeing Omicron. Now, the problem is we don't use this particular kit very often.
I see.
It's only used in a few different labs because our preference has been to use, Roche and Abbott and so on. So where we are using this kit, we are able to get some idea of the extent to which Delta variant versus Omicron variant is spreading. And right. That data I don't have available at this time.
It's a real battle, isn't it, Professor, for all of us all over the world? But it's so interesting to hear your thoughts about this. And let's do another interview in a couple of weeks when we've got more data. Your thoughts would be
absolutely
very, very important. It's been wonderful speaking to you. Thank you very much indeed, sir.
A great pleasure. Thank you.